It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's already hour 3 on this Monday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. The great Bob Costas will join us. Get his thoughts on Shohei Ohtani going to the Dodgers. Sunday night, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens take on Trevor Lawrence and the Jags. That's 7 Eastern on NBC and Peacock. Trevor Lawrence did play, but Jacksonville losing again. The Ravens are good, and maybe they're very good, but I watch and I go, they don't deliver a knockout punch. And give credit to the Rams. You know, the Rams are they're a dangerous team. They are. They're fun to watch. But they were so bad last year, and expectation level wasn't very high this year. But they are fun to watch. They got a couple of receivers. They got a running back there. Got a great head coach, Matthew Stafford. And they gave Baltimore everything that they could handle. And then you had the punt return for the touchdown. All right, so Bob will join us coming up tonight. The Titans and the Dolphins. The Titans are getting 14. Packers at the Giants with the Packers giving 6. Makes me nervous. Home dog Monday night. Lions just, by the way, what's up with the Lions? And that was one of those games where you say you can't lose because it feels like the glitter is starting to fall down on the floor here with Detroit. That they were the darlings, and we love it. We love the coach, and this is a great story. That city, now you've lost 2 of 3. 2 of 3, and you got Dallas coming up in a couple of weeks as well. But you lose to the Bears. And they play the Broncos next. And the Broncos, as Mike Golic pointed out, they might be as dangerous as anybody right now, the way they're playing. And their defense has been playing really well. But you're watching Detroit. And what's strange when I watch the Bears is I want to talk myself into Justin Fields. Like, I root for him just because most people don't root for him. And I'm watching him, and he had a couple of really nice throws, had a rushing touchdown, first time, I think, in a couple of months that he's done that. I don't know. You know, that stability is so important for a quarterback and your offensive coordinator, the philosophy you have. Get a weapon or two in there. They got a good tight end. They got a good receiver. You know, they've improved the offensive line, I guess. But, you know, can they parlay this, if they have the number one pick, into a couple of number one picks? And then maybe they get Marvin Harrison. You know, they get somebody good. Brock Bowers. They get somebody. They get some weapons in there. But I don't want to be paying Justin Fields that kind of money. But I'm going to have to do that. And that's, if you said that he was going into his second year, then I would keep him. But now all of a sudden, you know, I got to pick up the fifth-year option. Now all of a sudden we're getting into a little bit pricier neighborhood here. And that's what makes me nervous about him. All right, Seton, poll question for the final hour of the program is going to be what?
Let me update you, Dan, on the first 2 hours.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's see. We have, should the referees have thrown the flag on Kadarius Toney, the Chiefs wide receiver?
Yes.
That's 90% said yes.
Yes. I mean, he was offside. I don't know what the 10% think, unless they should have told him that he was offside. Hey, 19, you're really, really offside. Huh? Hut. I mean, it was a wonderful play. And if it's Kelce who improvised, it was awesome. And would I love to have seen it? Yes. But he was offsides. You just can't go, well, come on. Come on. What else, Seton?
Do you want to throw up there? You had this question earlier, who the best team in the NFC is.
Yeah.
Cowboys, Eagles, 49ers?
Maybe we wait till tomorrow with that.
Yeah?
Yeah. I would still say San Francisco because San Francisco put up, what, 42 points on that defense? Mm. That was more of, I'm not sure about the Eagles. I don't, their defense, secondary, but, you know, every team, it feels like, for the most part, will have that 2-3-4-game stretch where you're like, man, I don't know. Because the 49ers had that last month where you're going, I don't know. What happened here? No, Brock Purdy, he's not an MVP. Yeah, he is. And Debo, McCaffrey, there's a lot of toys there. And then that defense. It's probably the best team at football right now. I don't think you'd get too many arguments with that. But I think what Dallas showed you is, if they're at home in that building, that's a direct route to go to the NFC title game. Because they win there. It's when they go on the road. They got Buffalo coming up. They got Miami on the road. That's where I want to see what they do. And I know it is not fair. I say that up front. We're not fair when it comes to the Cowboys. Because whatever you do during the regular season, great. You want to give Dak the MVP? Great. It's going to come down to games in January. And that's where I want to see Dak be great. Or a kicker who's been perfect. And then all of a sudden you get to January. And then he's not so perfect. You know, they're doing offense, defense, and special teams. So, you know, all three facets. They have been really, really good this year. At least since the bye week. Yes, Marvin.
They're basically the Chargers, but with much more media coverage. They're on generation number 2 or 3 of, man, we're 13-3, we're 13-4 this year, and we flame out in the playoffs. When they had Romo and T.O. in Witten, and they were 13-3, home playoff game, whoop, crap the bed.
By the way, I don't know if anybody saw this or put those two together, but Travis Kelce with the pass to Kadarius Toney that, you know, would have given them the go-ahead score. Frank Wycheck passed away this weekend. He had the Music City Miracle and on that kickoff, and he was a tight end, threw the ball across the field and to Dyson. And just the fact that it happened, you know, on Sunday, and you almost had this great play. Now, that was in the playoff game with Music City Miracle that got him into the Super Bowl. But I couldn't help but look at any kind of connection between, you know, those two plays. Yes, Paul.
And that play by Frank Wycheck, that lateral, is one of the most dissected plays in sports history. People still look at it and say, where did the ball go forward? Was it even? Was it going backwards? People still have one side or another on that one.
Yeah, and I remember being in the basement, and my wife's like, dinner. And I go, okay, you know, dinner. I go, okay. And then, you know, there's going to be a kickoff. I go upstairs. I have no idea what just happened in the Music City Miracle. All of a sudden, I got, you know, some messages. That's unbelievable. You know, when somebody says, oh, you didn't see it. And I go, no, what? What do you mean? And then it's like, oh, my God. And then my wife goes, was it important? I go, no, it wasn't, hon. This meatloaf is great. Yes.
Can we set some type of alarm system up on your TV? Is if you're leaving and something great happens, wah, like wah, wah, and you run back to your TV and pops on?
No.
Let's invent that app.
Yeah. A couple of phone calls in here. Once again, Bob Costas will join us coming up. Who benefits next from Shohei Ohtani's contract? Like Juan Soto is going to play this year with the Yankees, and then he'll be up. What do you do if you're his agent where you go, we want Ohtani money?
And learn to pitch.
I was gonna say, yeah.
I don't – there is no player comp. So when somebody's going to go, man, all these free agents are going to benefit from Shohei Ohtani, I don't think so. Because if I just look at him, and we've talked about this for a while, if he's a $30 million pitcher and a $30 million hitter, so that's $60 million. Well, he might be a $30 million pitcher and a $40 million hitter. So there's your $70 million. If I'm looking at a guy who does both things, now, do I think he's going to be able to do this for a long period of time? Both? No, I don't. And having two Tommy Johns, not going to pitch this year coming up, that's where I thought, okay, maybe like 550. So Mike Trout has the record, had the record at 430 million. Ohtani goes, what, 270 million more than that? And if you're Mike Trout, do you want to stay?
Your team became less relevant.
Yeah. And that's shocking. That two of the best players in baseball, and for the Angels to lose him to the Dodgers. Now, it's bad enough you lost him. You don't get it. You'll get like what, draft picks? Yeah, great. And you lose him to the Dodgers. At least if you lost him to Toronto, he's going to another country. Yes, Marvin.
Ohtani doesn't even have to move.
I know.
Hey guys, how are you? You going to practice? Me too.
Yeah.
Depends on how LA he's gotten though, because he's like, well, the traffic. There's no way I could get over there. So there's no way with this traffic I could get there.
Well, he's in Newport.
That's a haul. You got to take
the
105 to La Brea, the Pico that time of day.
La Cienega. Yeah,
you don't want to take it after 3 p.m. Not after 3 p.m.
Santa Ana Freeway.
I remember driving. I remember driving in L.A. It was like 1 in the afternoon, and I was going to go visit somebody in Burbank, and I was in Santa Monica. And I'm like, I should be there in no time. And he goes, there's no such thing as being there in no time. He goes, everything's about 40 minutes away. And I go, all right, leave at 1 o'clock. I said, I'll be there by 2. 3:30, got Ooh. There. 3:30, and then he says, you can't go back. I go, what do you mean? He goes, you're going to have to wait. I go, I got to be here for like 4 hours? He goes, yeah, probably. And then you can go back. I go, oh my God. And then he says, do you know we have friends in accordance to how close they are to us? You'll even say to somebody, hey, we should get together. Well, where do you live? And then they tell you, and they'll go, oh, no, I don't think so. So your friendship is really based on who's, the proximity. Yes, Don.
Steamy Valley, I'll see you on your birthday. Maybe. Maybe we'll see you on your birthday.
Yeah, Paul.
When we would go out to L.A. and do our shows at DirecTV, like Seton and I would be like, all right, we're going to go downtown. And we'd tell the people, you want to meet us down at like 5:30? They're like, there's no chance.
Yeah, not going to be able to get there.
Going to see the first time we went out there, I called my cousin. I was like, hey, what's up? I'm going to be in town or whatever. You want to meet for dinner? It's like, yeah, no problem. And I didn't know anything about L.A. And he's like, well, I'm in Los Feliz, wherever. Where are you staying? I said, Santa Monica. Santa Monica? Like, I might as well have been in New Jersey.
Yeah, bring a passport.
Santa Monica? You want me to get out to Santa Monica for dinner? Are you crazy? I got to get out to the...
At like, this time?
Why? No. I'm like, it's this far on the map. Why? How could it possibly be that? But then, fast forward a few years later, I'm like, that's it. I'm going out there one time. They're going to see everybody I know out there one time because I'm not doing that drive.
A couple of phone calls, best and worst of the weekend. Tilly in Bloomington is back. Todd said he would never come back, and Tilly is back.
Shocked.
Hi, Till.
Todd, how dare you disrespect me like
terrible.
That?
I'll tell you. Prove me wrong. Though, man.
Hey, you get a day off and you call in.
Yay!
I know. Hey, I haven't listened to a full show in a while, but I got to tell you off the bat, you got some good caller voices these days. I heard Gus, Shay, Barry, and Buddha. You got some, there's some good, good
regulars
in those voices. Hey, real quick, best and worst. Best was the Pacers getting to the championship this weekend, having a bad game in the championship, but getting there is great. Worst, you touched on it. Pats, Chargers, said hold my beer from a couple weeks ago when the Vikings Raiders played today. And then, man, if you haven't heard it, you got to check out what Rex Ryan said today earlier on another show when they were talking about the Chiefs play. To quote Rex Ryan, well, this is a toe that I really don't like.
All righty, Rex. A little foot fetish there. You know, not many analysts do have foot fetish humor like Rex.
We have the list. If you want to.
Andy in Georgia. Hi, Andy. Thank you for holding best and worst of the weekend.
What's up, DP?
Hey,
happy Monday, fellas. Hey, I wanted to say thank you as a four-time member of the Can't Get Up and Change the Channel Club for providing a little bit of levity while I'm sitting here glued to my lazy boy watching the show.
Right,
my worst of the weekend.
Andy, what's wrong with you?
I had a little meniscus repair, a little meniscus cut out this time.
What about the other three?
The other three, I had an ACL repair, I had an ACL revision, and then it didn't take, so they had to go in and take it out after that one. So it's I was born with great knees.
Okay. I don't know if it's the knees or it's you, Andy. So, you know, maybe we cut back on some activities here.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to stop running. That's never happening again.
Okay. Best and worst of the weekend.
My worst? Yes, sir. My worst of the weekend happened just now, man. You said Brock Bowers to Chicago. We can't do that to my boy. He deserves better than going to the Bears. They had Roquan, and they ditched him. They had Leonard Floyd, and they ditched him. We can't do that to Brock. He's got to go to a winning organization.
Okay.
My belated best of the weekend, sir, it's one of my son's jiu-jitsu coaches. Her name is Madeline Shellman. She went out to Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, a couple of weeks ago to the World Combat Games and won the gold medal in the Pancration. So she is a legitimate gold medal ass kicker.
All right. Well, thank you, Andy. Good luck with your rehab there.
That was going to be my best of the weekend.
No.
Beat me to it.
Yeah. All right.
Tell you what, if Andy had a better voice, I would take it. He's going after you with the voice and then the knee surgeries. I felt like he was trying to flex on you a little bit.
Mm. Yeah, but what's his hair look like?
I don't know.
Plus, you can't get this voice. I mean, you can't. Yeah. Although people want to know how I get it. And I go, I just open my mouth and talk. Like, you didn't, like, do anything? I go, no, just there one day.
So you can give up hope of ever getting this
Yes,
voice.
You'll never have this.
It's a blessing.
You either have it or you don't.
Yeah, it can be a curse, though, sometimes, Todd. Blessing and a curse. Bob Costas will join us coming up next. I'll put my ego in check. We're back after this, Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Pauly Fusco here with Tony Fusco.
Yo.
Of course, you know us as the host of the number one rated show in all of sports talk, the Pauly and Tony Fusco Show.
Yeah.
Now, the suits at Fox Sports Radio gave us this airtime because they wanted us to tell you how great our show is.
Why?
Yeah, instead of us doing that, let's just let our millions of fans do the talking.
Yeah, play the tape.
You don't know crap about sports. I mean, why am I even on this crap?
Whoa. That's the wrong tape.
Wrong tape.
Just forget that. Look, listen to the Pauly and Tony Fusco Show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
More phone calls coming up, best and worst of the weekend. MLB Network turns 15 years old on January 1st. They're going to be asking for the car keys, and that's going to be a problem. You guys have an experience that, well, Todd has. But when your kids, they want to drive, and they're 15, then all of a sudden you got drama there.
A little stressful.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Todd. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. He's the Hall of Famer sportscaster. He's Bob Costas, part of MLB Network's Prime 9 Countdown Series, returns tonight with Bob as the host here, and it runs all week long. Ranking first baseman and second baseman tonight at 5 and 5:30 Eastern, MLB Network. Bob, thanks for joining us. If I talked to you a week ago and I said you're the commissioner and you could place Ohtani wherever you want that's in the best interest of baseball, what would your answer have been?
I think it's probably the answer they wound up with. It's probably the Dodgers. You could say that the Yankees or the Mets, maybe New York, gives him a little bit more of a, you know, it's a larger market numerically, but you want him to be happy. You want him to thrive. I think where they were really holding their breath, and maybe it was just leverage from an agent standpoint, but when there was serious talk that the Blue Jays were in the mix, with all due respect to them and their fans and the history of the franchise, it's nothing against them. That would have been bad for baseball overall. You just can't maximize the benefit to baseball as an industry with Shohei Ohtani in Toronto, but you most certainly can with the Dodgers. They're always good. They're often disappointing in terms of what happens in October, but they're always good. There's an almost certainty that you'll see him in the playoffs. Maybe he gets deep into the playoffs. The team itself is a marquee team. They have a national following. They have all the resources to maximize this. They're one of the very few teams that can amortize this investment and actually make it profitable. $700 million just breaks the bank and breaks the previous paradigm. Everybody knows that. Cumulatively, about $300 million more than anybody else has gotten. But to use the word that's been thrown around about him for years, the guy's a unicorn, and so is this deal.
I'm trying to understand the Angels. You know, you lose him, you don't get any compensation, a draft pick or whatever, and you lose him to the Angels or the Dodgers. That's a bad weekend, Bob. But we could see this happening. You don't want to be the GM or owner who traded away Ohtani, but you don't want to be the owner or GM who didn't get anything for Ohtani when he left you.
Well, when there was a lot of talk about this on the MLB Network at the trade deadline, of course. And at that point, the Angels, who seem to always sadly disappoint, they were only three or four games out of the last wild card. And I thought that Artie Moreno and the front office of the Angels actually kept faith with their fan base by saying, A, we're going to keep him, even if it's only for two more months that you get to see this once, not in a lifetime, but once in forever in the history of baseball player. And we're going to make an effort, therefore, in the next couple of months and beyond, to retain him. Now, that effort was unsuccessful. The trapdoor opened on them. They plummeted to below 500. They were not in the race. But the day they announced that they were not going to put him on the trading block, you may remember this, they had a doubleheader in Detroit, a straight doubleheader, not a split, and pitched a complete game shutout or an eight-inning one-hit shutout, and then he hit two home runs as the DH in the next game. So at that point, you know, spirits are high around the Angels. I can't blame them. I feel bad. I know there are criticisms of every owner when a team doesn't succeed, but you think about the Angels with Mike Trout, and then they got Pujols, and they got a good player instead of a great player. He was a great player with the Cardinals. What they wound up was with a good player for a while in the second half of his career. They signed Josh Hamilton. At that point, he was an MVP, and he had personal problems, and the trapdoor opened on him as well. They had Ohtani for a while and couldn't get to the postseason with Ohtani and Trout both. You can't say they didn't try. I mean, the Rendon signing, he comes off a World Series title and big RBI numbers with the Nats and doesn't do the same with the Angels. It feels like the whole franchise is snake bit.
I'm wondering Ohtani's impact on the game 10 years, 15 years down the road, where are teams going to be encouraging or not discouraging your pitcher from being a hitter or vice versa, college players? What kind of impact do you think Ohtani will have that way?
Yeah, I can't say precisely, Dan, but there's going to be some. Obviously, there's going to be some. And you know that the best player in high school always pitches and plays some position. And you get a little bit of that in college. And then, of course, they're channeled into whatever they the scouts think is their best position or their college coaches thinks is their best position. But the best players, the most gifted players, at least start out being, many of them, pitchers and position players. And some of them, inspired by Ohtani, are going to want to try that.
We're talking to Bob Costas, Hall of Fame sportscaster, MLB Network host. Are we changing requirements on the Hall of Fame like we do with the NFL, where running backs are diminished, wide receivers getting more receptions and yards, and guys getting more sacks and quarterbacks getting bigger numbers? What is baseball's sort of line of demarcation? Has anything really changed in the last, you know, 5 to 7 years?
I think analytics play a greater part in it, because the younger members of the Baseball Writers Association who qualify, having been there for 10 years, as you know, Dan, it's only the writers who vote, broadcasters don't, but the younger guys are more dependent on analytics, and even the older guys have kind of caught up with that, so they may see some players through a different prism. That's the reason why you look at Bobby Abreu and somebody says, you know what, I can compare Bobby Abreu to Al Kaline, who back in the day was a no-doubt Hall of Famer, and you're looking at Bobby Abreu and scratching your head, but maybe analytics say that you should at least consider him. So that's part of it. But then, you know, we've been over this before. Everybody's got to make their own decision about the steroid era. If you're going on pure numbers, McGuire, Sosa, Bonds, certainly Clemens, A-Rod, they're all in already. Manny Ramirez, all in already. How do you parse that, especially in light of the fact that it's reasonable to assume that some guys, even if they didn't testify before Congress or you don't have hard evidence, that some guys already in at least dabbled in steroids during that period of time?
Do you think we ever get to the point where we go, you know, younger voters, they just say, you know what, steroids not a big deal to me, and we're going to put all these guys in?
I think there's some sentiment in that direction. There's still a lot of hardliners who say no, and there's a handful, and I might be among them if I was a writer, who say I'm going to put Bonds and Clemens in a different category because I can rationalize that had they retired before the turn of the century, they would have been in on their natural merits, but I can't say the same for McGuire and Sosa. There's a school of thought that goes that way. But with each passing year, it seems that the hard line resistance to steroid guys lessens. And part of it is the writers who say, you know what, I just throw my hands up. I get it. I get that a lot of these performances are not fully authentic. I get that we're comparing apples to oranges, but I just can't figure out how to deal with it. So the heck with it. everybody in whose numbers indicate they're going to get in.
Well, it's like Lance Armstrong. He was the best at cheating.
Yes.
I mean, Bonds was the best. If you said everybody gets to use steroids, that guy is so much better than everybody else, and maybe Clemenger.
No doubt.
But Lance was so good in a sport so dirty, I'm like, I don't know.
The example of that is that whether it's the Tour de France, I mean, I'm not an expert on cycling, but the various other events, I guess the Tour de France and the Olympics would be the two most prestigious ones. They don't award the prize to whoever finished second behind Lance Armstrong because they figure at least 1 through 25 were also on some kind of PEDs. What would they do? Some guy out for his morning cycle? You, on the side of the road. You're clean here. Take this.
Yeah. You, with the Schwinn bicycle, you get right. You win. You won the next stage. You win. You're the only guy clean. How does this Ohtani deal affect future free agents? Like Juan Soto? Does it affect?
It probably does a little bit, but I said this on Saturday when the news broke on MLBN. Every GM in baseball is now rehearsing the following speech to that star player and his agent. This is a high tide that raises no other boats because this guy is completely unique, and so is the Dodgers' circumstance. So this doesn't take a 30 million guy to 40. It doesn't even take an 8 million guy to 12. He's completely unique. Nobody else. Compare yourself to Judge. Compare yourself, if you're a pitcher, to Scherzer's deal or Verlander's deal. But this stands completely alone, and I don't want to hear about it. I don't know if that argument's going to carry the day or somebody will break ranks and move the next great player, not to Ohtani's level, but beyond Judge's level, you know, beyond Trout's level and Harper's level and into the 50s or 60s, maybe. But I think by and large, you could make a reasonable argument that Ohtani is in a category of his own. And so the conversation does not include him when we come to the next guy.
Were you ever broached about being a GM of a team?
No. And neither was I ever broached, despite all the talk about being commissioner of baseball. And I always said, I'm neither interested nor qualified. So forget it.
But don't be humble on this. You could have been commissioner. You could have been a really good commissioner.
I might have been a better commissioner than a GM.
Okay.
I really don't think. Honestly, that I was qualified because there are aspects of it, grasp of economics, and especially all the backroom wheeling and dealing and twisting of arms. You have to have a certain kind of temperament for that, and I don't. And the analogy I always use was, if you think a particular columnist is astute politically, that doesn't necessarily mean you think he or she should run for president or be a Supreme Court justice. Their role is to offer thoughts and people weigh it for whatever it's worth. And I was a commentator about baseball, not just calling games, but about the state of the game. I even wrote a book about it. And if people appreciated that, well, that was my contribution.
Well, the press conferences would have sounded so much better if you were the commissioner.
I'll grant you that.
Okay, good. All right, fair enough. Bob, great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
All right, Dan, one more thing.
Yeah.
I had nothing to do with the rankings. When people watched Prime 9, yeah, I didn't even know what the rankings were until they handed me the script. And there are some of these rankings and exclusions that I don't agree with, so don't blame me.
Oh, you're distancing yourself. When I hosted Sports Century, people were mad when Secretariat got in there. I go, I didn't vote for the horse, but...
Believe me, when I found out Secretariat was roughly at the same level of ranking as Mickey Mantle, I wanted to strangle you. And I knew it wasn't your fault, but you were the guy whose name I knew.
I didn't know who else. I had people mad at me. Thank you, Bob.
Yeah. See you, Dan.
Bob Costas, Hall of Famer, MLB Network, and host of Prime 9. Yeah, when I did Sports Century, and we were counting down, you know, the top athletes, and it was a big deal. And I was not disappointed. I wasn't surprised that Michael Jordan would be number one, but he shouldn't have been number one. If you're talking about the greatest athlete of all time, I would say it's Jackie Robinson. Because if I factor in everything that he did, he could have been a professional track, he could have been a running back, He played basketball at UCLA. He played baseball. He broke the color barrier, became a Hall of Famer, had teammates who didn't like him. Everything that he went through just to play baseball and then to be a Hall of Famer, there's nobody like him. Now, you can say Jim Thorpe, and that's a different era. But to me, Jackie Robinson's the greatest athlete of all time because he could have done four things, at least three professionally. And he baseball was considered, I think, his fourth best sport, and he became a Hall of Famer. All right, a couple of phone calls, best and worst of the weekend. We will close up shop, what we learned, what's in store tomorrow. We'll try to accomplish all of that right after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Last call for phone calls, what we learn, what's in store tomorrow. Make sure you check out danpatrick.com. A lot of special holiday gifts. We have a gift set there, 4-pack of moonshine. You can get cinnamon apple, salted caramel, pumpkin spice, and our newest flavor, peppermint bark. Autograph calendars are there as well. A lot to choose from at danpatrick.com. All right, final results of the poll question. Seton O'Connor.
The final results of this hour's poll question, Dan.
Were you not prepared?
Of course I was prepared. Taking Shohei Ohtani off the board, who had the best weekend? Who? Mm-hmm. This is interesting. Your options were Joe Flacco, Zach Wilson, LeBron James, and Jaden Daniels. Okay. Right now in last place with 13% of the vote is LeBron James. Haters. Haters.
Haters gonna hate.
Yes. But then It's almost a three-way tie between Jaden Daniels, Joe Flacco, and Zach Wilson. Jaden Daniels has 33% of the vote, though.
Probably didn't think you would lump those together for a poll
question.
Joe
Flacco.
Yes. By the way, Philadelphia's defense is a problem. Philly has given up 34, 42, and 33 points in the last 3 weeks. Now, in those three games, the opposition has 30 possessions against the Eagles. The Eagles have allowed points on 19 of the 30 possessions with 13 touchdowns and 6 field goals. So only 7 stops. She had 5 punts, a fumble, and an interception. If you're going to win in January or February, as Peter King points out, you're not going to do it that way. In fact, you're not going to do it if your defense is that bad. So this is an issue. Philly offense, maybe Jalen Hurts is hurt, and maybe they get that back going. But that defense, and they've tried to get help out the secondary, but this is an issue. Yeah, Paulie?
Right now, the Eagles' offense is ranked 6th in the league in scoring. Their defense is 28th in the league scoring.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. All right, let's write tomorrow's headline today, coming off the games tonight. Titans, Dolphins, Packers, Giants. Todd, I'm going to start with you. You are the king of mock headlines.
You can't beat Tua. That's what I came up with.
You were the king of mock headlines. Seton O'Connor, tomorrow's headline today.
It's going to be MVP. Like he as in Himothy, M. But it's going to be Tyreek Hill. MVP. He.
I'm
he
glad
as in him.
No, I got
as in
it.
Himothy.
MVP.
He.
Yes, Marvin. That's terrible.
But
it's great.
All?
But it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, isn't that the point?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Tyreek Havoc.
Oh, Tyreek Havoc.
Dolphins just demolished
okay.
The Titans.
All right. I like that one. I'm going to give you a little bloop there. Paulie?
It's Tyreek's in here. Dolphins stink up the joint against the Titans.
Oh,
like
that.
Upset alert. What?
I get one more shot or am I going to be through?
I mean, you can, but you can't win because.
That's fine.
I mean, it better dominate.
I'm not going to dominate. I'm saying falling out of love, Giants stun Packers. So we were starting to think there was something there with Green Bay and Jordan Love. Mm. The Giants beat them.
How would you rate your Monday?
Not that great. Guess-wise, I think solid.
Guess Monday?
Yeah. Mike Golic Sr., Ross Tucker, Bob Costas.
You did all right. Yeah, you did all right there. What I had to say and share with the rest of you brings it significantly down.
I think if Todd just focused on guests and less on the other stuff, then we're winning.
Maybe. Maybe just not talk. I've had those days where I just didn't talk.
Yeah.
Not enough.
Not
as much as you like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, look who's here today. I didn't know you were here today. Give me one of those lines.
Okay. All right. How about this day in sports history?
I got a couple. Joe DiMaggio finished his career, 13-year career, all with the Yankees.
That overrated.
Too soon. 1951. Miami Dolphins and Don Shula on the cover of Time magazine. 1981, Muhammad Ali fought his last fight. Who did he fight?
Trevor Burbick.
Bad boy. Bloop, bloop for you. One of the great songs in music history was released this day in 1985, Dan.
Fritzy should know that.
I always feel like somebody's watching me.
I can't enjoy my tea.
It was actually Super Bowl Shuffle by the Chicago Bears.
Oh,
sorry.
So bad.
Too soon.
Grumble, grumble.
Yeah.
And Little League ruled on the Danny Almonte thing in 2001. He was too old to play Little League baseball.
Let's see.
23 is too old.
Charlie Ward won the Heisman on this date. Matt Leinart won the Heisman on this date. Whose career would you want? Charlie Ward played in the NBA, Florida State, Matt Leinart, ballroom dancing, USC. Paulie?
Do you think Charlie Ward would have gone football over basketball in this era of the more friendly to the running quarterback and quarterbacks who weren't big? He was not a tall man.
No, Charlie was, I think, 6'3".
Was he?
Yeah, I think so. I think.
Yeah, you know what? I got him listed 6'2", 198.
Yeah.
You think he would have leaned football?
Probably.
You know, he played a long time in the NBA.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Would you take Charlie Ward's career or would you take Matt Leinart's career?
12 years in the NBA. What was Leinart, 4 years in NFL?
Yeah.
We can only go by one thing. Salary.
Charlie salary. Picked himself up, you know, 35.
How much?
Like 35 million, I
okay.
think.
Okay. All right.
I don't know, what was the 1996 signing bonus for the top quarterback taken? Because it was probably...
Yeah, I got 35 for Charlie Ward. Leonard salary is pending.
Okay. Pending. I think that's it.
USC salary was good.
Yeah, whoa.
Whoa, hey, too soon.
Come on, no come taxes on that whoa. Either. Yeah. No.
Under the nice table. Yeah. Matt Leinart made in his pro career. This is wonky. They don't have it, and they always have it. Hold, please.
What? By the way, what does Caitlin Clark get her first year in the WNBA? Is it like $70,000?
No, I think she can max out her salary. Let's say the Indiana Fever take her. I think it's $235,000 on the court.
Oh, okay.
I think. I'm almost sure that's it. The max deal you can get in.
Because, you know, this is what people are going to say. Well, she should stay at Iowa. Well, whatever endorsement she's getting at Iowa, I'm assuming she's going to be able to capitalize on that when she goes to the WNBA. You're going to get a salary, and then you'll still have endorsements. But so you could have her and Aaliyah Boston both on the same team as, you know, back-to-back number one players selected. Yes, Todd.
Is it possible certain sponsors would find you more interesting as an Iowa player than an Indiana Fever?
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. But I would think Indiana, if it's local restaurant, car dealer, you would have the same thing in Indiana. Plus, you know. Marketing-wise, I would think, now you're in the WNBA, you know, she's going to do okay. But I'm curious, you know, Angel Reese won the national title, called out Caitlin Clark, and I said at the time, you know, she's a very good college player, but there's no draw for her in the WNBA. Like, she'll be, oh, yeah, that's the girl who did that to Caitlin Clark. It'll be a big deal when they go against each other. She needs to max out now because she's not a great player. In she'll be a double-double. You know, she'll be, you know, 14 and 10 or something like that. But her draw was at LSU, and they won the national title. She certainly played a big role in that. But Caitlin Clark going into the WNBA, Paige Beckers going into the WNBA, like, those will be signature draws. But Angel Reese is a, you know, really good player who will be going into the WN, but she might not even be a top 10 pick, I'm going to guess. So let me get to Adam in Illinois. He's been waiting a long time. Adam, thank you for holding. Best and worst of the weekend.
Hey, Dan. Morning, boys. Morning. Shout out to Paulie there, fellow Illinois guy. So a couple best here for you guys. Recently had a new baby. Wanted to shout out his stats for you here, named Killian Patrick. 21 inches long, a stocky 8 pounds, 9 ounces.
All right. How about that? Killian Patrick.
Now, yes, sir. Other best, Cowboys kicker. This guy's amazing. We got to get a nickname for this guy. You know, we've had Greg the Leg and Legatron. We got to get something for this guy. He's, like, single-handedly getting respect for kickers and soccer players. So that's pretty tough to do.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking like, you know, Brandon Autry or something like that. I mean, he's banging in more trays than Steph Curry, so... I don't know if you guys can come up with something, but we got to get this guy a nickname.
All right. Thank you, Adam. Fritzy, maybe you could come up with a nickname for the Cowboys kicker.
I'll work on that.
You just have to find out the name of the Cowboys kicker.
Aubrey or something like that?
Yeah, something.
Aubrey Plaza?
Yeah, Aubrey Huff. Aubrey Plaza? Yes, Todd.
That's all I had.
Okay. Once again, how would you rate your Monday?
I'm going to say passing, but not by a lot.
Passing.
Like a 73, like, hoping that we curve up to close to 80.
Todd, I'm grading you a little higher than that. If we're each giving you an individual grade,
okay,
I'm going
give
higher.
Give him a grade. What's your grade, Seton?
I'm saying he's an 85. He's
85?
Yeah.
Marvin?
83.
Paulie?
Guest-wise, A-.
Yeah, but performance overall.
Out of time.
You have to say it like the Dancing with the Stars guy. Aight! When he holds up the number.
Honest Rookies, biggest superstars, the all-time greats, the only place to collect them all, Panini trading cards. Start or continue your collection now at PaniniAmerica.net. Thanks for joining us. We're going to do it again tomorrow.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.